Hear this word of assurance from the prophet Jeremiah, which is quoted again in Hebrews chapter 8, of that new covenant that the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, has established with you, that no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. That is the covenant that the Lord has made with you this morning, which you may be reminded of. He will remember your sins no more, all those who come to Him in Jesus Christ. Let's turn now this morning to our scripture reading, first from Proverbs 4, verses 18 through 27. We'll be focusing on the heart as part of one of the care group sermons and chapters that we're dealing with. And in connection with that, we'll see an important verse, a well-known verse on the heart in Proverbs 4, verse 18 through 27. And then after that, we'll switch to the New Testament, to Mark 10. But first, Proverbs 4, verse 18 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your hearts, for they are life to those who find them and health to the man's whole body. Above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now let's turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. And we'll read verses 17 through 27. There's a number of different examples that I'll mention in this sermon, this being one of them. The point being, or the focus this morning that we draw out is, well, how does, looking at our theme, Jesus draw out the heart? And how does he does it, and that he does it, we see so clearly in many different ways in the gospel, and this passage being a very familiar and well-known way, with the rich young ruler, rich young man. So Mark 10, verse 17 through 27. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." And before we turn to our text, let's sing then and call upon the Lord for his word. Sing, "Speak, O Lord," stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We'll turn back to Proverbs now, chapter 20, and we'll read verses 2 to 11. Focus this morning is going to be on verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. As so often, Proverbs can be taken on their own, but we're going to put them in the context because I think it is helpful here and helps us to understand what it's getting at, why it's put here. And so we'll read Proverbs 20, verse 2 through 11. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous man leads a blameless life, blessed are his children after him. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. So far then, the reading of God's word for us this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, start off with a question this morning, and it's kind of just not just how has your week been, but how have the interactions that you've had this past week been? Now, maybe it is too much to ask you about the whole past week, but so something maybe more fresh on your memory is, well, how were your interactions this morning? Now, maybe you tend to have a pretty relaxed Sunday morning. It's quiet at your house, not the regular routines, so you have some more time. Maybe that's the exact opposite in your household because you have to get everyone out, and especially this Sunday when the extra hour and everyone has to somehow be more alive than they feel based on the time. It may have been testing, challenging, hectic. But regardless, you've likely had interactions that reminded you or impressed upon you the fact that we all, as human beings made in God's image, are complex, complicated, beautifully so, and frustratingly so. Now, to kind of highlight that, as parents, you've noticed that in the past week or even this morning, where you can think back to interactions you've had this week as a parent with your children, where that complexity tested you. You knew something was slightly off, but you did not know what was causing it. Right? Child is acting out of the ordinary. You know something is off, but there could be so many different things. But then to make it more difficult, they showed it an attitude that was not, that you can't really condone. But it was also so out of the ordinary that you knew to not take it personal. You may have been in a situation where you knew that, yes, that behavior needs some kind of punishment or correction, but also I need to give a hug because clearly they're dealing with something. And in what order are you going to do that? And how do you do that well? And will you actually get to the root cause of what is going on? Perhaps you are a parent of understanding, and you're able to draw it out. But it just reminds us we're complex. And sometimes it is really hard to draw that out. Adding to the complexity is, of course, our own hearts. So not only are we engaging with someone who has a sinful heart, we ourselves have a heart that is complex. So that at times we may say we don't have the time, we don't have the patience because, well, whatever is going on in our own hearts, disappointments, sin struggles, we're just simply tired. So that we're okay with dealing with behavior, but not with the hearts. And that could be parents, but that's really all of us. Because all of us have a heart, and all of us are interacting with people who have a heart that's same as the same. Even as I asked you this morning, how were your interactions this past week? How were your interactions this morning? Your mind may have gone to something where you are now justifying yourself. Oh, you're so angry about how things went this morning, and you're justifying yourself. Or maybe your heart is just, you know what, this week was tough. You just hope that this afternoon it'll be nice and quiet, a Sunday where no one's going to bother you. Or maybe you're thinking of this interaction that you know you're going to have to confront tomorrow morning because you're back at work, back with an employee or an employer, and it starts to worry you now because that interaction has been so tough. It affects all of us. And it affects our interactions. As we've been going through this series and going through the book, we recognize that we are needy and we're needed. And we then grow closer, draw closer to other people, and we interact and we get to know each other. We get to know people's needs, their struggles, their situations, and eventually their hearts. Or that is the work, the goal of the person of understanding, the man of understanding in Proverbs 20, verse 5. They draw out the hearts. We'll focus on that proverb this morning. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Now, one thing to clear up just right away so that we're all on the same page is that when it comes to the heart, in Scripture, it has a very broad understanding. We may think of the heart, and you know, we draw hearts, for example. We maybe think of emotions or feelings and loves. But in the Bible, the heart is that which thinks, that maybe makes decisions, that plans, that also worships. And so, and even sometimes that which sets the face, that if you're, you know, you have scowling, it's because of your heart and where it's at. So it's very much like the core and the hub of our emotional, psychological, and spiritual life. It really is the core of us. And this proverb offers us a picture of what this core is like. Deep waters, and you're drawing from it. It's a well. It's a well, a deep well, where you can't see the bottom. You can throw in a rock or anything else, and you can listen and listen and listen, and yes, you hear a splash eventually. But what kind of water is down there, how deep it is, no one can really know. And a man of understanding is the only one who's able to draw that out. And it's an interesting image because we can read that, and we maybe already this morning started going kind of more the positive or the negative way of trying to read this. Because maybe you're a teacher. Or you generally train people. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense, because I try to do that all the time. I know people have potential, and I try to draw it out of them. You know they have it in them. And you just look for that way, that thing that will reach them and draw it out. But that doesn't seem to be the first meaning here this morning. Because first of all, Proverbs can be read individually. But it's also good to read them in their context. And one commentator titles this section, the one that we read, verse 2 through 11, as the king cleanses his realm of fools. The king cleanses his realm of fools. You kind of have that roar of the king and his anger at the start, and then it talks about him later on winnowing, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff, evil and good in his kingdom. And between that, you have those comments on, you know, the angry and the lazy and the deceiver and the unfaithful. The king has the one who has discernment, and he's able to separate them and understand and rid then his realm of fools. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. A good king has discernment. A wise king has discernment. Discernment to judge good and evil, but also, as to our text, to discern the purposes of a man's heart. For when it says that a purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, it's not just as if there's a deep reservoir, it's hidden. I may say unfathomable for those who love words and their origins. Think of a king on his throne. Someone comes up with advice or a plan saying, King, you really should do this. And the king has to know, is that good advice or is it bad? But not only that, what is their true motive? What is their true agenda? What are they trying to accomplish? A king can't simply go by pretense, by outward display, by flattery, by bribe. It must get to the hearts. Or at least a wise king will. Because it's deep waters. And there may be treachery, trickery, deception. So on the one hand, yes, it's a Proverbs that reminds us of the deep waters, the hidden agendas of the hearts. But it's more than that. Because it doesn't really just teach us about the hearts of others, does it? It teaches us about our own hearts. If you know the hearts of others are deep waters, then, well, what is your own? And you likely know this as well. From experience. If you've ever needed help noticing what exactly you're doing, and maybe only later realize, wait, I was doing this because of, or understanding the motive or the why behind it, you know how your own hearts can be deep waters. Not because you're simply were trying to hope to trick someone, but because of our hearts. We are all of us. We have these deep patterns of behavior that often even are unknown or are unaware of ourselves. Like we are, for us it's just normal procedure and we're unaware. We do it unconsciously. Now we retreat or we get defensive or we try to please as the purpose of our hearts to this situation or that interaction. Sometimes we don't even notice that we may be doing that. Never mind why we are doing it. Ask you again, what interactions come to mind from this last week? Have you gotten angry with someone? How maybe realizing yet, till maybe this morning when you have to think about it, why you got so angry or why you did so quickly or so intensely? You say like, well, that's usually not me. Yeah, but then the question becomes why? Why did you respond that way? Why is it that when I asked you about an interaction this morning, that you're right away thinking about that comment that was made this past week that was probably just light and they were just in passing, they never meant much by it, but it's still with you here this morning? Why did that affect you so deeply, maybe even more deeply than you think is reasonable? Or why is it that you may be sitting here this morning and you are so worried about something right now that you know the Lord has helped you with in the past, that you know you've prayed and laid before the Lord, but you don't know why it is so tough this morning in this moment to face that anxiety in particular? Now, some of these things are simply the complexity of being a human being, but brothers and sisters, we're also sinners. And Scripture is also always very clear. The heart is deceitful and desperately sick, as the prophet Jeremiah reminds us. We're quick to justify even our sinful purposes so that we may go on sinning. We may at times know why we're doing something, but hide that or turn a blind eye towards that because we know it is sinful. Sinful when we try to get back at someone. Sinful when we know we're doing it out of pride. And sin in our hearts is in turn happy with that, because sin itself, we're warned in Scripture, is of course also deceptive. So you have that deep heart that's hard to understand, and also sin within it trying to deceive us. You know, whether it's trying to do so as, you know, boiling the frog by degree, that it trying to transform your heart simply, gradually, so that you never notice. Or maybe this morning it is distracting you because you keep on thinking about the splinter, the speck in the eye of another, whereas you're happily distracted from your own beam in your eye. Or maybe it is simply that you cover your sin with a veneer of holiness because you say, yes, I responded that way, but you know, times have been tough, I've been working too hard, I've been sacrificing myself for all these other people, and then this is what I get. Of course, I will indulge in a bit of self-pity and pride or even a small sin. our hearts, our deep waters, can be treacherous. Sin within our hearts may be deceitful, will be deceitful as well. Not that we blame sin or our hearts. The heart is ours. This is why the Lord instructs us to, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talks from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. If you're going through the Care Group book, you know that there's going to be a diagram that's showing up. It may or may not be helpful, but the diagram, if it was put into scripture, into verses, Proverbs 4 summarizes it so well. It says, watch over your heart because it's always busy. You're looking at things and taking them in. And because you take them in, you're pursuing them. You're walking after them. Which in turn just reinforces what you're looking at and taking in. And then what comes out of you and your mouths and your thoughts. Your heart is always busy. That's why you need to keep guard and watch over it. And it's that heart that you bring into your interactions with others. There's us then. The purpose of our own hearts as deep waters, interacting with our spouse, our children, our sibling, our fellow believer, our neighbor, whose heart is also deep waters. And they will respond to us with their own purposes that aren't easily discerned, either by us, but perhaps even by themselves. It's necessary for us this morning to acknowledge it, that our interactions can face challenges because of our hearts. There's the challenges of only going by appearances, of only dealing with behavior, but never getting to that hub, that core of other people. Even getting to the core of who we are. All the while needing to keep watch over our own hearts, but when they are such deep waters, even to ourselves, we need help. Help from another, from a brother, sister, from a spouse, from a family member, but more than that. But a man of understanding draws them out. A man of understanding draws them out. Has it stood out to you that when you read the Gospels, how often Jesus knows exactly what is in someone's heart? And so he didn't judge or interact so much on pretense. People would come, try to trick him, saying, hey, Jesus, should we be paying taxes? Hoping to turn people off from him. And it says, Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? The Apostle John in chapter 2 just shares more generally. Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Now we read that and rightly think of Jesus. He is the Lord. He is God. He knows the thoughts and hearts of people. But he's also more than that. Think back to Proverbs. Isn't Jesus also that perfect king who winnows evil? Isn't he also the perfect king who equipped with divine wisdom by the spirits can draw out people's hearts and does draw out people's hearts? Because the surprising thing would be is that Jesus would just walk up to someone and say, like, yeah, I know everything about you. I know your name. I know where you come from. I mean, he did that at times, saying, hey, Philip, I know exactly what you were doing. And I also know what kind of character you are. But most of the time, he's simply asking questions. We see him literally at a well talking to a Samaritan woman. And he draws out her hearts. Does so by breaking down barriers between Jews and Samaritans, men and women. Surprises her by asking her to do something for him. And instead of hostility or pride, she finds in Jesus humility, interest. Someone who is not even there to shame her when she opens up about her past, but draws her out and knows exactly what to ask her so that she has to make that confession and not hide behind pretense. Not even thrown off by the red herring she just tries to get off by tried to getting the spotlight off of her by talking about worship. He's the man of understanding who draws out the hearts. He pays attention to her and he doesn't give up on her asking her, but drawing her out that he may give her living water. Or think about the way in which Jesus draws out the young man in the passage that we read, in the rich young ruler. Right here is this man who comes up. He is a promising, successful young man, righteous, wealthy, religious. But the purposes of the heart are deep waters. Now we would say that and saying like, yeah, and he's on a quest. He's still looking for eternal life. And Jesus doesn't draw a judge by appearances, but is able to draw out the hearts. He feels like something's still missing. He comes to Jesus. And Jesus loves him and draws out of him exactly what's there in the temple of his heart being worshipped. He draws out what is missing for eternal life. And he does it again and again. Whether he's interacting with the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, shy, timid, rather just touch Jesus and never be known, he invites her, welcomes her into the warm welcome of faith. Or he draws out the heart of Simon the leper, who was the Pharisee who thought Jesus must not know who is touching him right now, because otherwise he would be revolting by the fact that this woman, the sinful woman, would come and anoint him. And Jesus draws out Simon with a parable that proves that he knows both her and Simon better than they even know themselves. Or how about the teacher of the law who asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life and then wanted to justify himself, saying, well, who, Jesus, is my neighbor that I should love? And Jesus draws out his hearts in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we likely could go through all the Gospels and see it again and again. Jesus is that man of understanding who draws out the hearts all the time. He's drawing people in. Or drawing people out against him. But notice this then. He is that man of understanding. He is the discerning king who rids his kingdom of fools. But notice, and this is important this morning, it is not what we would expect. Because who does Jesus send away? Yes, fools. But what is foolishness in the kingdom of God? What is foolishness in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? It is those who come to him and say, look, Lord, this is my heart. I have wisdom. I have understanding. Let me show it to you. He sends them packing. But it's those who come to him and saying, Lord, I am a fool. My heart is a mess. It is chaotic. I don't understand it. Here it is. I offer it to you. Who he welcomes into his kingdom, whom he makes wise through his grace and spirit, whom he makes wise beyond their years by his amazing grace. He is the king, the discerning king. He rids his kingdom of fools. And it's foolishness to sit here this morning and to think that you know the depths of your hearts and that you can control it. but listen to the diagnosis of that man who truly knows the hearts and who drew waters from it. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing that Jesus knew what was in his heart, in people's hearts. It's amazing that he uses that to draw out the hearts of the people he interacts with, how he does it to draw out our hearts. But brothers and sisters, when you see that this is the well that he was drawing from, when you see it in your own hearts, how often did Jesus sit there drawing out the hearts and he just realized it's another bucket, another layer of filthy, stinky, dirty water? But you need to see this so that you would come to him for living water, that he may cleanse you, give you his spirit, transform your hearts, that you also may have living water within you. How were your interactions this past week? Do you know your own foolishness? Do you see the ignorance that you have of your own hearts, the deceitfulness of sin, and the challenge that brings when you interact with people around you? That your heart too is always busy, and you have not kept guard over it. And you can maybe discern deep waters, and there may be things that you like, but there's also the many things that you do not like, and you don't know what to do about that. The man of understanding must draw it out. He must bring it to the all-knowing, the wise and good King and Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who truly is going to expose your sin. It'll deceive you, but not him and not his spirit. He's the only one who can take your foolishness and make you wise through his forgiveness, through his grace, by emptying you, filling you up, the new heart. And when he gives you that heart, he puts a guard on it. We may say he gives it a focus, a purpose. Quite simply, right, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. To worship the Lord and him alone, that starts to organize our hearts. It starts to bring it into the order it needs, but also, and the focus, as we end the focus this morning, to love your neighbor as yourself. Look, brothers and sisters, when you see someone suffer, I know you have a heart for them. You'll seek to ask, how can you help? How can you alleviate? How can you bear their burden with them? You may see someone who is ruining their life or making bad choices. It may be more challenging, but you may go out and confront them, saying, because you love them, and address their behavior. But can you love your neighbor, your brother or sister, without caring for their hearts? Yes, that takes challenge. That is a challenge. That takes time. That takes patience. That takes effort. That takes true love, doesn't it? As Jesus says when he loves that rich young man. May care about their suffering. May care about their behavior. Will you care about their hearts? Will you live as Jesus taught us, in the spirit that he has given you? See in the Gospels how he loved others in the way that he did it, as he engaged others without animosity, without pride, but humility. I mean, we know Jesus' heart is gentle and humble. Lowly and gentle. To realize that when you interact with someone, they are complex, they're made in God's image. You won't be reductionistic. seek to draw them out? Will you interact with them in inviting words that seek to understand rather than just to give your spiel? How we can do both, I mean, that's a challenge, but we see Jesus doing this all the time, doesn't it? He always makes his points. But so often he does it by just simply asking questions and drawing someone out. Showing interest, showing attention, showing his care. And that he understands. And that when we are challenged by someone, and we may be tempted to take their words one way or another, or take them personal, to ask, to be honest, to be open, to speak with love and grace. Because you know how your Lord has dealt with you. He has sat by the well and he's drawn out bucket after bucket after bucket. And yet he says, I care for you and I'll show you my grace. And that when you draw out that which is good, that which is lovely, that which is right, to give thanks for it, to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, to say, look, brother, sister, I have found living waters within you because I see the Spirit at work. Let's give thanks. And I hope you see the same in me. And that when you need to correct, that you do in a way that is persuasive, sweetness of speech that understands the hearts. And what are winsome words? And that at the end of the day, even as you interact with your spouse, with your children, with your brother and sister, with a family member, to know the heart is deep waters. The heart is in the hands of the spirits. Ultimately is the one who must deal with them. Deal with us in our hearts. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Amen. Well, let's sing of the knowledge that the Lord has of us, that he may test us and know us, and praise the Lord, he does not reject us, but calls us his own and made us in his image. Psalm 139, sentences 1, 2, and 13.